Tonight is our family night. You guys can take a seat, If you have your Bibles with you tonight or you brought them in the house, you can pull it out to Psalm 131. We're going to dive in. And I was really contemplating, we don't do our first Wednesday all the time. It's been a while since we've even done one. So I was contemplating, this is the first time we've done a first Wednesday in a while. And there's just a few of y'all in the house. Thank you for coming. I'm glad y'all are here. But tonight, I was really praying, Lord, what do you want us to talk about at First Wednesday? This is a prayer that I pray every week as a pastor, as I'm preparing to speak and to open God's word and to teach. And I felt like the Lord put on my heart, I was like, I had an idea of where we were going to talk about tonight, a teaching I thought I was going to bring. And I felt like the Lord said, nope, you're going to talk about Psalm 131 and you're going to talk about this subject that I have, which is the subject of worry and anxiety and stress and fear. And the title of my message is Rest in God. And I'm glad y'all are here to hear what the Lord put on my heart. And tonight, if you turn to Psalm 131 in your Bibles or your Bible apps, I want to talk about the rest of God. And I looked up this word worry this week, actually this morning, as I was praying over this message. And the word worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, and it means this. It means to strangle or to choke. I thought, that's pretty appropriate for what worry really does to us, isn't it? It strangles us and it chokes us. And I was looking at some studies about stress because I know everyone I talk to in Southern California seems to be stressing right now. Inside the church, outside the church, all around. I mean, the wildfires burning all around us, the things that are going on in our world, it just feels like wild and crazy. And I saw this study that recognize that as Americans, we're more stressed than anyone else on the planet. It actually, they did a survey and they asked people, was yesterday stressful? Right? Not like this year, not like them. Yesterday. Was yesterday stressful? And of the Americans they surveyed, 55% said there was a lot of stress yesterday. There was a lot of stress in my day yesterday. And that compared to about 35% around the world. And so Americans are stressed. I don't know if you have ever dealt with stress or anxiety or worry. Maybe it's just me, but I deal with it, and we do. I heard this quote that said, the only people who don't have stress are the people who are dead, right? Because they don't got to worry about it anymore. But those of us who are among the living, we deal with stress. And there was a quote I read by this guy named Earl Derby, and he said this. He said that every time he was to give a speech, get in front of people, and this was me in high school, by the way, every time he was to give a speech, he'd lose 2 nights of sleep. And this is why. He said, I'd lose 1 night of sleep the night before thinking about all the stuff I'm supposed to say, and I want to make a good impression, and I want to do a good job. And then the night after, I'd also lose a night of sleep thinking about, oh, I wish I would have said it this way. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish this would have been different. And I think, like, that's our human problem, isn't it? Don't matter what it is, there's some days we're on this side of it, and we're thinking, I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the outcome of this decision is going to be or this diagnosis is going to be. I don't know what's going to happen with my finances or my house or whatever it is that's going on in my life. And then sometimes we're living in this side of the equation, right? And we're like, I wish I would have done that different. I wish I would have made that mistake. And I'm such a bonehead. I can't believe I did it, right? And we live in this place of either being anxious about the future and about the things we don't know, or we're anxious about the way we did what we did in our past, and we're stressing about it. And God is saying, I don't want you to be anxious in either one of those situations. But that's where we live, isn't it? We're either anxious about the future that we don't know, or anxious about the past that we can't change. And we're still, in both of those situations, I'm in the spitting zone here, in both of those situations, we're stuck and we're not doing anything good. And I've heard it said this way, that worry is trying to mentally control something that's outside of your control. And I believe that's the truth, that worry is when I try and change something that I don't have the gears to change, that I don't got the steering wheel to move, that I don't have an ability to do anything about, whether it's something that's ahead of me in the future. I can't change the future. I don't know about you. I keep trying to do it and it never works. Or about worrying about something that I did. We cannot go back and change the past. Though God can redeem our past, he can do something good with the broken pieces of our past. But the reality is that when I'm worrying, it's about something that I cannot control, which is why I'm worried about it in the first place. And these things are events, are things that there's a phrase for it. It's, they're above my pay grade. You ever hear someone use that expression? Usually they say it when they're about to do something lazy, right? I can't do that. That's above my pay grade. That's my boss's job, right? I can't do that. And that's a cop out, but I think there's times and places where we deal with situations either in our future or in our past when they're just simply above our pay grade. In other words, they're not mine to change. I don't have the steering wheel to adjust the direction of it. I don't have a time machine to go back and fix the outcome of it. I can't take back those words that I've spoken. I can't take out those words that were spoken over me. But the only thing I can do is live where I'm at and let God be God. Would you turn to someone next to you and say, let God be God? Some of y'all, you awake tonight? Psalm 131, if you have your Bibles, we're going to read the whole psalm. It's only three verses. And it says this. It's a song of David. And it says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. That last part of that verse in verse 2, my wife just reminded me as I told her what I was going to share tonight. I have a great example from last night because I've got a 2-year-old now and he's weaned. But last night he had a scary dream or something that happened in the middle of the night and he started whining. And we have our door locked because we're smart parents and we like to lock our children out. And so he's pounding on the door. Wah! And he's upset. He's frustrated. And as soon as he lays down next to his mama, it's like, and I just saw a smile come on his face. And I thought, he's not worried anymore, right? What does the psalmist say? What does David say? He says, I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. And I thought, what a beautiful picture. You ever seen a child get to mama? And they're just like, they're happy. They're happy. I was watching a video this morning on Facebook about these babies and they're crying and how they soothe the babies. And one of the ways, just throw mom's dirty laundry at the baby that just smells like mama and they get it and it's just smiling. Thought that's true. That's all it takes, just dirty laundry. See, honey, it's so easy. We had a lot of that. But that's the deal. That there is a tendency that I have, that I suspect you have too, to occupy my mind with things that are too big for me. To start thinking about things. And I don't start thinking about like, you know, A, B, C. I think A to Z, I'm thinking like the whole alphabet, right? I'm starting thinking about things that are way above, things that I can control. And I think about things that are too big for me. And what I love that David says is, Lord, my eyes aren't raised too high and I don't occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. See, we must not allow worry or anxiety or fear to occupy our minds. And I was thinking about this. I had this visual of, I don't know why I always go to Germany when I'm thinking about occupation, but I just have this visual. I mean, just imagine with me for a second that you're standing in the middle of Simi Valley and all of a sudden this invading army comes in with their tanks and there's men with their big old rifles and they're walking down the streets and they don't just come through and then leave, but they stay. So when you're at church, there's a man walking by with a rifle to intimidate you. And I think that's the word that God chose in this situation for a reason. Because he says, I don't occupy my mind. I don't allow that army, that evil army to invade my mind with thoughts that are too big for me. I got to keep the door closed. I got to say, no, I'm not letting you in to the place of my mind. I'm not going to allow you to occupy my mind with worry, with anxiety, with fear. See, we must not allow our minds to be occupied with things that are too great and marvelous for us. And I love that David has the humility to say that. David was king. There's no one greater in a kingdom than a king. And yet David, as he's in the kingdom, as he's the king, he says, God, there's things that are above my pay grade. There's things, I got a lot of men under my control. I got a lot of power. I have a lot of money. I have a lot of this. You name it. I got a lot of everything. But one thing I don't have is God's perspective. There's things that are higher than I am. There are things that are bigger than I can even fathom or understand with my mind. And so he says, God, I don't want to occupy my mind with things that are too great. And we can allow those things, whether it's the things of our future or it's the things of our past, we can allow those things to begin to define us, can't we? And instead of allowing God to say who he says we are, as the song we sang, I am who you say I am, God. Instead of singing that song, we can start singing this song. I am who they said I was. I am what I did in my darkest moment. That's who I am. I'll always be that person. I am that name that was spoken over me when I was a child or as a teenager or maybe even as an adult. I am that person. I am failure. I am broken. I am addict. That's my name. That's who I am. That's who I will always be. And though we might not say it just like that, there's something important about us recognizing that we can't allow our failures, our mistakes, or even what others say about us, and by the way, even what we say of ourselves, to define who we are. We got to sing just like that song, just like Kyle led us in that song. God, I am who you say I am. And I got to trade those false identities, those false lies that were spoken to me, even the lies that I speak to myself, and say, God, that's not who I am. I'm not living in fear anymore. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, we can't allow those things to define us, but God wants his people instead to rest in peace. Some of y'all are like, I'm wishing you to die. No. But see, some people think resting in peace is all about after the afterlife. And we say that, may they rest in peace. But God wants us to rest in peace while we're still among the land of the living. He wants us to be people that rest in peace now. Not just then. Not just when our problems and our worries and our anxieties are gone. Psalm 127 says this, verses 1 and 2. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. You ever stay up late thinking about something, worried about something, anxious about something? You ever get up early and the first thing that comes on your mind is that problem, that mistake, that failure, whatever it is? And all through the night, you're not sleeping well. And this is what he says. In vain do you rise up early and do you go to late rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. You ever have the bread of anxious toil? It's not very good. I don't recommend it. For he gives, what does God give to his beloved? Sleep. Don't you all love sleep? I'm just thinking about sleep right now. I love you guys, but I want to go home and go to sleep right now. Yeah. None of y'all better be sleeping right now either, I'm just saying. But God gives his beloved sleep. Now, if you fall asleep to this message, praise the Lord. But what does he give to his beloved? Does he give him toil? Does he give him stress? Does he give him worry? No, what's he give him? Sleep. God says, I want to give you sleep. And I can't sleep unless I'm living in rest. I'm resting. So God wants us to rest in peace as we're walking among the living, not just when we leave this earth. But we allow sometimes the fear that we have of the future to overcome us, about the uncertainty, the things that I don't have a control over. We allow the things that have happened in our past to overwhelm us, to overrule us, because maybe something that happened that we wish we could change. And it could be a fear about our future. It could be a false label or identity that's been spoken over us, something that has been said about us or we believe about ourselves. But I'll just tell you how the work of the enemy works, in case you haven't figured this out, or maybe you just need a reminder because you already know it and you just forgot it, that the enemy tries to whisper lies into our ears. He's called the accuser of the brethren, that he stands before the Lord and speaks accusations. And I'll tell you, it happens to all of us as we find ourselves, I don't know what it is, and we're having a tough day, and all of a sudden those whispering lies start coming back. Man, you're just a loser, just like he said you were. You're a failure just like you were back then when you failed that one time. You know that one time. The time I'm not going to let you forget about. That time. That those lies begin to flood back into our minds. And God reminds us maybe of an unkind word that was spoken over us. Maybe of an unkind word we spoke over someone else. And we haven't allowed the Lord to allow us to walk in forgiveness. To receive the forgiveness and grace of God. And so he brings it up. And instead of seeing ourselves as the song we sang, as God sees us, with the identity that God says we have, we see ourselves in the light of those things of our past, or maybe those things of our future that we're uncertain about and afraid of. And sometimes we'll hear those words. Maybe you've said this like me. I'm in the moment and I hear that word. Man, you're a failure. Man, you're a bad dad. That's what I hear. Maybe you're a bad mom. You made so many mistakes. You're just a reject. You're screwed up. And sometimes those words, man, they sink deep into our soul. And those words come back, whatever those words are. See, sometimes even when we walk near to God, we can be in church. We can know what the Bible says about us and who God says we are. And yet, by the way, this is something that's so important for us to understand. I used to believe that when I got saved, when I became a believer, I was a full believer. That was it. There was no more believing to do. But the truth of the matter is I can trust in the Lord Jesus and yet still have some lies that I'm choosing to believe about God. I can have some areas of unbelief in my own heart where I'm not believing God deeply. And God says, I want to set you free from those things. But that only happens if we'll be a people that will allow ourselves to be confronted by God's word, to be confronted by the Holy Spirit when he whispers things to us, when he says, that's not who you are, son. That's not who I say you are. I say you're my son. I say you're beloved. But I believe that I'm a reject. And nobody wants me. See, God says, I have to be willing to lay those things down. I need to be willing to allow God to occupy my mind instead of allowing those thoughts, those lies, those false identities to occupy my mind. Because the reality is that something's going to occupy my mind, whether I'm living in freedom and the Lord said I'm set free, or I'm still enslaved to those false identities and those lies that I've believed about myself. Maybe someone spoke them over me. Maybe I spoke them over myself. But regardless, God says, I want to set you free from those things. And that begins when I'll draw near to him. And I want to read one scripture real quick, Philippians 4, starting verse 4 through verse 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Catch this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, what is he saying? He's saying, man, there's going to be anxiety that's going to try and grab hold of you. But in the midst of being anxious and being worried and being stressed out, I got a choice to make. Am I going to allow those things to occupy my mind? Or instead, am I going to turn those things into praise to God? Am I going to say, God, thank you that you've set me free? God, thank you that you've done this great work in my life. Thank you that's not who you say I am anymore. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what's going to happen? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, what's it going to do to our hearts? It's going to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Y'all want to guard your mind from the enemy occupation thereof? You got to guard your mind by giving praise to Almighty God, even when you're feeling anxious. That's the antidote to anxiety. That's the antidote to worry. See, the enemy says, I want to occupy your mind with these thoughts. There's a battle going on for our minds. But the Lord says, if you would just, instead of being anxious about it, instead of allowing the enemy to come in and just to sit there and camp there and march around with his machine guns and tell you that you are who he says you are, that you'd say, no, Lord, instead of being anxious about anything, with everything, God, I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to bring it to you by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving. I'm going to have an attitude of gratitude that says, Lord, it doesn't matter what situations I'm facing, doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside, God, I'm going to bring those things to you. And though I wish I could thank you about this situation right now, I can't. But God, I'm going to thank you for what I can thank you for. But thank you, I got air, I got breath in my lungs, I got life in my body, and I've got what I do have. Lord, thank you. And thank you for walking me with me through this situation as David did. As David said to the Lord, he said, God, I'm not going to set my eyes on things that I can't control. Instead, I'm going to set my eyes on you. On you, because you know the future. You know what's going on in my story, Lord. You know exactly what's taking place in my life. And I'm going to do something. We're going to do a little bit practice of this idea because I want us to spend a minute to do just that. See, there's things that we're anxious about. Some of y'all came in anxious. You came in with stuff on your day that just exploded all over you, and you're just like carrying this stuff. And I want to give you an opportunity to give those things to the Lord. And so I want to do a little experiment, a little practice in this. And for those men that went with us to men's retreat, it's going to be similar to what you saw us do and what we did in men's retreat, because there's something powerful that takes place. In fact, Jamie Winship showed me this kind of model and this exercise. And so we're going to do it together. You guys all right with that?
Yeah.
All right, good. I hope so. So I want to do an exercise. It's not a big deal. It's nothing magical, but I want us to just imagine ourselves giving those things to the Lord, because when the scripture tells us to do not be anxious, but instead by all things, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, let him know about them, give those things over to God. Sometimes we think about that and we're like, that sounds really complicated, God. And we overcomplicate what it means to talk to the Lord and to be with the Lord Jesus. But Jesus says, man, I just want you to bring those things to me. And so we're going to do a little exercise here, and it's not a big deal, but we're going to ask God to listen. And what we're going to do is, in fact, I'm going to have you do this. Would you just close your eyes with me for a second? I'm going to set my Bible down, and I'm going to have you close your eyes with me. Don't worry. There's no one coming for your wallet. Nothing happens like that. You can peek your eye open if you don't trust me. But I just want to close our eyes because I want us to imagine the Lord for a second, and we're going to invite Jesus to take away our fears. We're going to invite the Lord Jesus to take away all of our worries, and we're going to invite God to speak to us tonight, because I think sometimes we over-spiritualize what it even means, and we're just going to say, Lord, we want you to speak to us tonight. And so, Father, we invite you to meet us here, God. Just as we said during worship, we believe that you are in the house, and Lord, we believe that you want to speak to us. And so right now in this place, Lord God, we invite you to speak to us, your people. We say, God, we no longer want to allow fear to occupy our minds. We don't want to allow the things of the enemy to have an occupation force in our minds. And so tonight, Lord Jesus, we invite you into this place. We invite you to speak to us. We invite you to fill us with your spirit. And tonight, Lord, I just want to pray this prayer. Would you just pray this prayer right where you're at? Lord, would you search my heart? Search my heart and see if there's anything in me that any false identity, any name that's been spoken over me, any lie that I've chosen to believe about myself. God, those things that I'm worried about, those things that I'm fearful of, Lord, would you just bring those words into mind right now, those things that are not from you, as we shared about tonight, those things that the enemy of our soul has put in our heart and minds. Reveal those things, those names that have been spoken over us, those things that we choose to believe about who we are. Put those words in our minds right now. Don't search for them. Don't grasp for them, but just allow the Lord to reveal those things. Maybe there's some words that are coming to your mind right now. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine with your eyes still closed. I want you to imagine that Jesus is standing in front of you. Just imagine Jesus in front of you. Fix your eyes on him. And picture Jesus however you would imagine Jesus to look. The scriptures declare that he is the image of the invisible God. So just picture Jesus however you would imagine him standing in front of you. And here's what I want you to do. Those words that maybe those things you were afraid of, maybe those words that were spoken over to you, I want you just to give those things to Jesus. Hand those false names, those false identities, those things you're afraid of, hand them over to Jesus right now. Just to picture that in your mind's eye. That Jesus is standing in front of you, and you give those to him. Now I want to ask you this question. What does he do with them? With your eyes still closed, still picturing Jesus in front of you, what does Jesus do with those things? What does he do with those things that you hand to him? Now I want you to look into Jesus' eyes. Imagine that he's still standing in front of you. Ask him, Jesus, those are the things that others have said about me, but what do you say about me? Who do you say that I am? And I want you to just listen. Ask Jesus, Jesus, who do you call me? Who do you say that I am? I want you to take hold of those words. I want you to write them down. If you have a pad of paper in front of you, or think about them, hold on to them tightly. Lord Jesus,
We no longer want to be slaves to fear. We no longer want to be slaves to the lies of the enemy, to those false identities that have been spoken over us or that we've chosen to believe about ourselves. God, we thank you that because of what you did on the cross, you've taken away everything that separated us from Father. So Lord, tonight, as we've given those things over to you, we've watched you do whatever it is you did with them. Tonight, we choose to leave those things behind. We choose to allow those things to be with you, to do whatever you did with them. And tonight, we choose to cling to the identity that you say, of who you say we are. And God, we thank you that who you say we are is always ultimately good. That you have different words to speak over us than the words that have clung to us. So tonight, we receive that word from you. We receive those things from you tonight. May we walk holding on to those things. In your name we pray. Amen. I want you to spend a few minutes. I want you to spend a few minutes taking 2 or 3 minutes and turn to 2 or 3 people around you. I want you to share 2 things with them. First, I want you to share. You don't have to share those false words, those things. Yeah. Those things that were spoken over to you, those lies. You can if you want to, but you don't need to share those. But I want you to share, what did Jesus do? Maybe you had a picture of him. And it's funny, we sat in a men's retreat and around our group from men from our church, every single one saw Jesus do something different with those things. So I want you to share, what did Jesus do when you handed him those words, those false identities, those things? And secondly, what did he speak to you? What words did he affirm you with? Did he speak over your life? See, the book of Proverbs says that anxiety, it weighs down our soul, but a good word spoken happily lifts up our soul. I want to ask you, what did Jesus say to you? I want you to spend a few minutes, and this is like our family service, first Wednesday, so we don't normally do this on Sunday, but take a few minutes and share. Speak truth with one another. What did the Lord Jesus do to you? Maybe you had a picture, maybe you didn't, but take a few minutes, and then we're going to sing one more song of worship. We're going to sing that song again. So let's do it now.